You know, I appreciate Brother Taylor's love and concern. What it is, he's seen Jesus in my life. And you know, a lot of people, you know, they say, well, do you mean to tell me that there's that much Jesus in that fellow? Well, see, you don't have to have but a little bit of Jesus and outshine the noonday sun. Just a little bit of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is talking about a little bit of Jesus. I praise God tonight for being here. And I guess it's always my desire, wherever I go, it's always been my desire to be able to share what the Lord has enlightened me with. But I have found the room wherever I go, and that's almost an impossibility. Once in a great while, you will meet somebody that you can do that with. But if you have 1,000 people, the chances are that you may have 2 out of 1,000. If you have 2 out of 1,000, you're doing well. I haven't met more than that, Brother Dale, not by that many. But you might find 2 out of 1,000 that will be able to receive what the Lord has given you, and then out of those 2, you might find 1 that will be able to understand what you say. So it really matters to them, and makes it kind of hard to be able to share, you know, what the Lord has really given you. So most of the time what you do, you preach them a sermon, because most people are used to having a sermon preached. And so you preach them a sermon. And that's good, because we need all the sermons that we can get. But there is something far better than a sermon. How many know that there is something better than heaven?
Hallelujah.
There's something better than heaven. Now, there is something better than heaven tonight. How many know that there ain't going to be but one saved?
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't get too many amens to that. Somebody probably felt like, well, there's just one going to be saved, and it's going to be you, Brother Bob. Reverend Harris said, they don't know. Praise the Lord. Well, didn't I say that out of 1,000 you might find 2 that you can share what you have with, and out of 2 you might find 1 of them that might understand what you're saying. Everybody understood what I'm saying, well, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Everybody that didn't understand what I'm saying, well, you know what I'm talking about. See, there's a place better than heaven, and ain't but one going to be saved to go there. See, all I'm going to make. That really sounds like we all wasted our time. But I might have been able tonight to have had a blackboard, and every time I stare at that board, I get his guts. I hate for Brother Taylor to start drawing that, because I don't think, I believe you could see what was being on it, but I don't think it would captivate your attention enough for me to be able to keep your mind centered on that board while I instruct you. One thing probably would fascinate you is how the Brother Taylor gets all that put together. But anyway, if the Lord leads, maybe we'll get to teach one night, maybe we'll get a blackboard or something, and get to teach or say something about Revelation. How many of you know what Revelation is? Now, I don't want to embarrass you. But I really would like for you to raise your hand if you really truly know what Revelation is. Would you raise your hand? All right. Could you hold them up just a minute? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We got about 7 people out of the congregation. You know, the Bible tells us concerning the church order. Said when you come together, have a tongue. How many of you know what a tongue is? Raise your hand. How many know what speaking in tongues is? Can you raise your hand? Yeah, I thought he had more than that. All right, then it says when you come together, have a doctrine. How many of you know what a doctrine is? Raise your hand. All right, then it says when you come together, have a revelation. So, you see, we've had a doctrine and we've had a tongue, but we've not had a revelation. But the church order was that when we come together, we were to have a tongue, we were to have a doctrine, would have a revelation. Now, this might be shocking to you, but I wonder tonight, how many of you know that the church, the Gentile church, started with the revelation? How many of you know that's by?
Amen.
Started with the revelation. You know, now a lot of times we say, well, Brother White, do you really believe that we've got to have revelation? Yeah, I really do.
Amen.
I really do. The Bible said, preach the word, and the word said, when you come together, have a revelation. Now, if we come together and don't have a revelation, what have we done? We've violated the word. And if we violate the word, then I will go on to heaven. He said, you keep the whole law, sin in one point, you guilt him all. See, the scriptures can't be changed at all. Therefore, it's in hell or revelation. Now, you couldn't get to heaven without a doctrine, could you? Now, you couldn't get to heaven unless you had a tongue. There's no way. And you couldn't get to heaven unless you had a revelation. There ain't no way. See, God is a spirit. He's the invisible spirit. And God has to be revealed. And the way he's revealed is by measure from glory to glory. If you come to church and just have a doctrine, you don't really get God revealed to you. Now, a doctrine is to catch your attention, to indoctrinate you, to cause you to walk in a certain way of life. Like, if I wanted you to be an insurance agent, I had an insurance company, I'd take you to school and I'd indoctrinate you to where you'd walk just exactly according to the rules of my insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
When you got out in the field, when you went to talk to them, you talked to them according to those rules. Well, see, that's what a doctrine is for. It's while we're children in God to get us together and to line us up. Like Paul said concerning the law. He said that the law was a tutor to bring us unto grace. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way a doctrine is. A doctrine is something that gets us lined up to where we can learn the do's and don'ts that please God. Then when we learn the do's and don'ts, all of them that will follow the do's and leave off the don'ts, well, then God begins to anoint them with his spirit, and the spirit begins to translate or transform their minds, and the transforming of that mind changes them from one world into another world.
Amen.
Therefore, you're translated by faith in the doctrine, the word. By faith, you're translated into another world. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated. Now, he walked with God 300 years, and he was not because God took him. Before his translation, he had this testimony. May he please God.
Amen.
Amen.
See, there is a revelation. There is a translation. And God, who is a spirit, he cannot reveal himself to us except by measure. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
When God came, stood on the mountain back there. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
He stood on the mountain, and the people of Israel couldn't even look at it. Couldn't even get close to it. Couldn't commune with it. And they said, Moses, let God talk to you, and then you come and talk to us. That's how the minister got into it. That's how the minister got into it.
Mm-hmm.
See, God talked to you through Moses. Is that right? Now, somebody said, well, I'd rather just talk to him. I'm afraid you wouldn't.
Right.
Tonight, if you understood what I, as an individual, go through with, just knowing what I know, you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to do that. It's like a man with a bit of kindness. You don't know what he goes through with to be a kindness. And you don't know what a man over our nation goes through with to be able to spout the liberty of communism and what the dread he has to live under. I've heard him give a testimony. You don't know. So see, you don't know. You don't understand how the devil can torment you night and day. How he can work. The Bible says, smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. How he can work so thoroughly to try to overthrow you, to oppress you, to carry you down. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So then you wouldn't want to talk face to face with God. It'd be better you talk to Moses.
Amen.
Is that right? That's why God has got a ministry so that you can reach him through the ministry. Now when you grow up, physically, in God, and then you get to be a Moses and
can talk face to face with it. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right? But it's children.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
A little child would much rather that mom and daddy tell them what's going on when the storm's up, just pull shade down with them, hide under the bed, and mom and daddy tell them about it. They don't stand watching. Now, there's a lot to be said. Paul said one time, we have much to say to you, but you're dull of hearing. And I believe that can be said concerning the entire church world. There is much to be said. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but yet you can't bear them. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all these truths and righteousness. Now what we've had, you might say this, I kind of say it in a way that's not to act like a know-all or be lifted up or to project some ideology. I try to say it in a way of love that you can understand that it's the truth. The church world has been going through ritualistic practices or formalities. I'm listening. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Is that right?
Amen.
He said, I acted like a child. But when I got to be a man, I put away childish things. Now what? I get up here and I get to dance. Hallelujah. I said, okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I've done that. A lot of times I get by myself, you know. Get by women, I just dance. You ought to see me sometimes. You think something's wrong, Brother Potty. But I mean, I really dance. I holler and I scream and I praise God. But see, Paul said when I was a child, I spake as a child. Sometimes you get to acting like a child. You know, you get in your second childhood. Now, all of these things like shooting marbles, jumping rope, hopping and skipping, that's good. We don't want to do away with it because the children are supposed to do that. But now, when the children get through skipping rope, jumping, running, and having a good time, and then the shadows of night begin to fall, and they're all weary and they're tired, and they don't want to play anymore, they've lost all their energy. They're not inspired anymore to play because the sun's going down, they're tired, and they're hungry. And besides that, they begin to get kind of afraid. They don't like the dark. You know what I mean? Sicknesses, sorrows, cancer, debris, heartaches, problems, poverty, demons, murder, suicide. They don't like those things. When the shadows start falling, then they start looking for a lot. And all of them wants to run into the house. They want to find mom and dad. And they want to get into where there's some parents in. Is that right? Because they're hungry. And when they come in, they don't hear daddy and mother say, well, we don't have anything to feed you tonight. They want a good supper. And then they want mom and daddy to tuck them in bed. And they want to sleep and rest so they can get up next morning, start back and shoot marbles, get drunk. Now see, all of that's good. But when I was a child, I speak as a child. But when I become a man, my daddy told me, he said, you're married, daddy. You got to get you a job and get you a house. He told me that. Now you might not have ever told your son that, but I thought it was pretty good standing home with daddy right on. I stayed there for a little bit longer. Daddy was making a living, me and my wife, we could use daddy's car and use daddy's gas. Right around, I thought it was a pretty good thing. But daddy didn't think it was so good. So daddy told me, he said, now you make your own way from it. So, you see, when we grow up, God expects us to become parents, and it's not quite as joyful. You know, when you leave early in the morning, when you don't feel like getting up, and you get up anyway, and you go on a job, and you have to work 8 solid hours just to get some bread, get some money to pay the bills, and pay to buy some bread, and do those kind of things. It's not very joyful. It's an endurance. See, you come up in the yard, you'd all rather just get out of the car and shut the door and start skipping rope and shooting marbles, you know, like they're doing today. The people that got lazy today, that's a church world, that's a good picture of it. The people that got lazy today, and what they'd rather do, they'd rather put back on their short pants and go down to the beach, and they don't want to work on a job, you can't give them enough salary to get them to work on a job. Now, they'll hire out to you. But as far as getting any work out of them, you might as well forget about that.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be on the payroll, but they don't want to do no work. Is that right?
Amen.
we'll have all the joys and glories and all the abundance of eternal living. If we'll do that. But folks, the church has been contented to play. The Bible says it sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Moses brought them out of Egypt, prepared a table, God prepared a table in the wilderness, and they sat down to eat and to drink, but they rose up to play. That's the church world today. God doesn't want you to do that. God wants to feed you. He wants to help you. But you've got to be easy to feed. Now look, I take a lot of time sometimes telling these things because it's needful for me to do it. Otherwise, I can't get your attention because you don't understand. All right, here comes Jesus. All right, now, Jesus comes in and he's going to run your revival. So he sits down. And everybody's ready for revival now. Come on, man.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
All right. Somebody said, but he wouldn't do that. But the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the way he always does it.
Amen.
The Bible said he got in a little boat, sat down and talked to people. Is that right?
Amen.
Said he went up on a mountain. When he was sent, he taught the people. All right, now we're ready for revival. Somebody said, what's the matter with that fellow? Well, we ain't going to have no evangelists like that. Too lazy to stand up. But see, the Lord Jesus did not want to give place to the flesh.
Amen.
Anybody can run and jump and holler. That's all right. If you get inspired, it's all right. I'm not critical of anybody that runs and jumps and hollers and has a good time. That's all right. But like David said tonight, what we want to do is be sure that they're running and jumping and hollering, not because somebody's playing Superman and somebody's playing Batman, but because we have run across something in the Word that has supernaturally inspired us to move on into another world or dimension.
Amen.
Now, somebody said, Brother Pike, I think you're getting kind of challenged talking about playing Superman. Who's ever heard of any preacher playing Superman? Well, not too long ago in the field, it was brought to me that way. Some fellow went to run revival and the pastor asked him, said, well, said, we'd like to kind of get acquainted and know what kind of act you got. He said, what do you mean, what kind of act I got? He said, well, the last fellow here said he always used a Batman suit. I said, the people really went for it. I said, it's not as far-fetched as you think it is, see? So, one fellow believes he's long-range, you know, somebody else believes he's Batman, somebody believes he's Superman, and they just shout and holler and just carry on, and when they get through, they don't know nothing about Jesus.
Amen.
They don't know nothing about Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to shout, well, I'm for it. If you want to holler, I'm for it. If you want to praise God, I'm for it. But during all this, folks, remember God brought us to church in one thing. He said, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to the fullness of the stature. Is that right?
Amen.
We want to grow in the knowledge. And to be able to grow in the knowledge, then you've got to listen, be a good listener, and listen to what the man of God tries to tell you. You've got to do it. Now see, I can do this because I've done it in my lifetime. I can really preach to you. That's good. A lot of times the evangelists come in and the Lord will anoint him the word that stir you up. Especially if you've got a bunch of sinners. Now, but there's one thing that evangelist cannot do. As long as he's doing that, he cannot edify you as far as teaching you the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because it will not work like that. What it is, he's inspired. Somebody said, well, is it God? Sure it's God. While he's running and jumping and praising God, it's the Lord. It's God. But it's God to stir you up and to make you feel his spirit and his goodness to get your attention.
Amen.
But when God begins to speak to you, it's altogether different. It's altogether different. Like Brother Taylor said, when the prophet went out there running from Jezebel, God took him, went back over to the same mountain over there where he spoke to Moses. Got him out in the wilderness. When he got him out there, there was a great fire, but God wasn't in it. That was a great to win, but God wasn't in it.
Amen.
And then after a while, a small, still voice, it came, and that was God, and it shook Elijah up. Now listen, God's like a dove. You have to be tender like a lamb. Like when the dove comes and lights on the lamb, you be real tender, real broken, real submissive. And then the Holy Spirit, like a dove, just comes along, and comes right down on it, and rests on it, and all of a sudden you feel rejuvenating, you feel an inspiration, and you feel something bubbling up down your soul. And I say, Elijah, if I could just feel the Spirit, brother, listen, when that thing begins to get a hold of you, you'll feel the Spirit. You'll feel the Spirit. Because it begins to bubble up into you like a great spring of water.
Amen.
So, the thing to do is have faith. Not emotion, but faith. You want faith, not emotion, but faith. Emotion will not translate you into the kingdom of God. If emotion was going to bring the rapture, then A.A.L. would finish the job before he ever got on the scene. I never seen more emotion in my life of beating the drum, of playing the organ and getting people to shouting. He got the job done before he ever went off the scene. Is that right? If that's what's going to do it. But you know, all that A. Allen did, the paper stated that he died a drunkard. That he died with infiltration of the liver, and he died an alcoholic. The paper stated it was a doctor's proof. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, maybe it wasn't true. Let's hope it wasn't true. But there's one thing that I know for sure. The first time that he ever came to Atlanta, Georgia, I walked into his study, and the building was literally packed out. The anointing of Christ came upon me, and I very seldom do this, and I stood up and prophesied to the midst of people right there. And I told, when I left, I told them, I said, something is wrong with this. And someday they're going to find it out. Now, it took a long time. They found it out. Look at Brother Oral Roberts, a great man of God. I just want to relate a few things here tonight. Some of you already acquainted with him. Oral Roberts, a great man of God. A man that loved the Lord. A man that was doing the work for God, just like A.A.L. was when he first started. But one day God spoke to me and told me to walk. And I began to walk. And I saw something, and when I saw it, the Lord let me know that Brother Oral Roberts, as great as he is, would fall away in his old age. And I told some people, some of the brethren, I said, now watch and see if it comes back. I said, he's done a great work, and God raised him up. I said, but in his old age, he'll fall away. Did he do it?
Amen.
Did he do it?
Yes.
He's done it exactly. He's in show business right now. You couldn't have believed anything like that. When I mentioned it, people looked at me with a hard expression. But see, the Lord showed me that a spirit was deceiving Oral Roberts. The Bible said in the last days the loosened spirit should come, doctrine of the devil, and that it was leading the people right into the hand of Satan. And maybe Alan was the same way. Now, you say, Brother White, you mean to tell me that A.A. was a man of God? There was one time when Alan was a man of God. There was a time when Oral Roberts was a man of God. But money, fame, and popularity gets the best of it. See, not being humble, not being submissive, not willing to listen, not willing to follow leadership. God said that we are a body united together. He said, when our brains die again, they'll see eye to eye. They'll speak the same thing. They'll walk hand in hand. They won't break rank. They won't pierce each other through. If they fall on the sword, it will not hurt them. Is that right? Now, if that is true, then what's going to happen to these that are out here somewhere that won't join ranks with us? Something's wrong with them. When a man won't join ranks with him, you can just mark it down in your book. It's self-will. Speaking evil of dignities and things that we don't know nothing about. That's self-will, and it is a show for the flesh, and somewhere down the road is going to find its mark. The Lord spoke, and it came to pass. past, children of God. Now, you say, how do you know what you're preaching is truth or not? Because the Spirit of truth spoke those things and it came to pass.
Amen.
If something tells you something and it comes to pass, it's got to be the Spirit of truth. Now, so it came to pass. The Bible is a trial of spirit. If any prophet prophesies something and it don't come to pass, you don't have no fear of that prophet because it's the spirit of error. But if a prophet prophesies something and it does come to pass, it says, then fear God. No, that's not what it said. It didn't say then fear God. Where did it say that? It said fear that prophet.
Amen.
Why? Because it tells that that prophet is in contact with God, and at any time God may speak to that prophet concerning you, and that prophet may tell you, and because you don't have a fear or a reverence for it, then God will smite you and take you off the city. Somebody said, but I'm too big for that. No, you're not. Said that I've been in Pentecost 50 years.
That don't make no difference.
David was the king, sat on the throne. Is that right?
Amen.
But God sent a prophet to him. It wasn't even worthy to dust his shoes as far as the people was concerned. And he gave him a little parable, Brother James. And when David sat there, David, in such a rage, said, well, said the thing to do, said, just put him to death. Said, he ought to die. And the little prophet said, David, thou art the man.
Amen.
See, we don't ever get too busy for what God can speak to us. I don't care who comes to my home. Whether it's going to be little, big, or what not, I don't believe in major, minor problems. There's no Bible for that. There's no teachings for that. And I don't believe in it. Now, God might use one in a major way, use one in a minor way, according to the word, the way they handle all things. But the Bible said, God said in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Is that right? It didn't say, said in the church, major and minor prophets and major and minor teachers. He said that he set in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Not one of those offices are inferior to another office. You want me to prove it? Jesus was called a teacher. Said, Rabbi, we know that all the teachers sent from God. Now, would that make the teachers inferior? Since Jesus Christ himself was a teacher, the Bible said Jesus was a prophet like in the mold. Does that make the prophet inferior? Paul turned and said, Jesus Christ, that he was the apostle that came to establish this faith. He was called an apostle, said. So, well, he said, what do you see? Here's what I'm saying. Things are shaping up, folks. Things are shaping up. Now, I tell you these things not for any personal gain. I have one desire, and that is to please God.
Amen.
If it's a matter of money, I've had plenty of money. I've had God bless me with material money and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that wouldn't be it. I wouldn't care for that. If it's a new automobile, I've had them to give me one right after another. Everything from a Cadillac to whatever it might be. So it wouldn't be that. If it's fame and popularity, I've had that because as far as Hollywood, they've offered to take my song if I let them have it. Even got a letter from a movie star years back and put it in the movie. If I know that, that wouldn't be it. Now, what I want to do is to please God. I'm going to stand before God one day, and when I stand before God, I've got to have a good answer for God. And the Bible said the elders will pay the good report by faith. By faith. These have obtained a good report by faith in God. And that's what I want to do. Now, that's all I'm interested in. But I tell you these things that you might understand that something is taking place and it's drawing down to a fine hairline at this time.
Amen.
That the day of the Gentiles is over. Come on, folks, you might as well believe it. The day of the Gentiles is at an end. If I could get into Revelation tonight, which I know that I can't because of it, I have to start the first of the service. It takes about an hour, hour and 15 minutes right steady. As hard as I can go, even to get one thing out of it, it really makes sense. Now, but the days of the Gentiles are at an end. Tell me this. Why was it, speaking of Revelation now, why was it that Paul the Apostle, why did he do this? Why was it say it. Is that right? Now tell me this. Why did he say that? Why did he say it? Can you tell? I'll tell you why he said it. You know why he said it? Because he had a revelation. There is no other way he could have known that. A man like Paul could not possibly have known that the day that God turned back to the Jew, that it would be the end of the Gentiles. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, everybody knows that. Sure, everybody knows that because Paul told you that in the Bible. That's the only reason you know it. Now, if there's never been a Bible, you've never been told that, how did you know that if God began to deal with the Jews, that means you couldn't get saved anymore? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, do you believe God's going to turn back to the Jews? All right, let me ask you a question. How is it that they won a war in 6 days to be able to turn back to Jesus? Somebody said, well, see, I don't have the patience, Brother Pike, to listen. I don't have the time to listen. I want to feel God. I want to prophesy. I want to preach. I want to do stuff. The best thing you can do is save your soul.
Amen.
The Bible says, save yourself from this unto generation. The best thing you can do, the Bible said, when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give a sacrifice of food.
Amen.
Because faith comes by hearing. A lot of people carry on the service, and God said it's sacrifice of food. Be more ready to hear. Because the thing that God is interested in is you hearing what He's got to say. Somebody said, now, Brother White, if God come down here, then we'd be willing to listen to Him. That is not true. That is not true. Jesus said, if they will hear you, then they'll hear me. If they despise you, they'll despise me. To prove to you that some people wouldn't listen, the Bible says that when the minister speaks, it is not him that speaketh, but it is God that speaks.
Amen.
It is God himself from heaven coming down to speak to you. And then we get out here and shout and holler and hoot, run and jump and don't give the preacher a chance to say nothing. And if he does say something, we don't have to pay attention to it.
Amen.
Then what have we done? We've given a sacrifice of food, is what we've done. We've played the food. Because what God wanted us to do was hear the word. He's interested in us hearing what He's got to say about the situation. And faith in what He said will command an obedience unto eternal life. Is that right?
Amen.
Faith in what God told Noah caused Noah to build an ark to save the people. Is that right?
Amen.
The thing that He tells you will cause your faith to prepare your body for the saving of your soul, my brother and sister. All right now. We say, what do you mean? Alright? God comes down. He speaks to us. He comes down and He takes His word. Not a figure speech. Somebody said, well, Mike, that's real cute. You know, that makes us all just, we just sit here and we try to imagine that it's not you, it's God. Don't be foolish. You don't have to imagine nothing. I'm not telling you to imagine something. I said that God Himself comes down. The Bible says they shall all be told of God. It's not a figure speaking. It's God speaking. Somebody said, but your voice don't sound like God. How do you know? You ain't never heard the voice of God.
Oh,
that's right.
Somebody said, the Bible said, I heard His voice. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice.
Amen.
Now, somebody said, well, you don't look like God. The Bible said, you never seen His shape at any time. How do you know?
Come on.
Now let me turn it all around and prove to you how wrong you are. The Bible tells us that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, and that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. Is that right?
Amen.
And the Bible said that He did always the will of the Father. And the Bible said that when He spoke, it was God speaking.
Amen.
The Bible said when you speak, it's not me, but your Heavenly Father. Now, I want to explain it. See here we stand tonight. I talk with you. That's my old rusty vocal organs. That's Brother Pop. Now we go look at it now. That's Brother Pop. But see, there is a mind somewhere. And that mind overshadows my mind. And my mind translates. And then that mind begins to speak through me to you. And that's God. That's God. Are you following me?
Amen.
That's God. When the mind begins to be. That's God. Now, if you know a man acts with flesh as the conqueror's son, you'll never get anything from him. They said, from which does this man have all this wisdom? And he, Joseph's son, is a conqueror. Is that right? See, what the Bible says, we are not to know him in the flesh. We're to know him in the spirit. We're to know him as a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to submit ourselves one to another as unto God. How many of you know the Bible tells you, wives, to submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord?
Amen.
And unto the Lord? Because he's the head of the body. How many believe that in the ministry, while God is speaking, that the ministry is the head of the church? I know Jesus is the head of the church. But the Bible says the members of his body in particular.
Amen.
Now, you're not to know a man like that. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what am I going to do? I'm waiting for the anointing. You're not to do that. You're not to come to the house of God looking for the anointing. There's been more people that's been sidetracked, made the faith shipwreck, trying to figure out whether the preacher was anointed or not. The Bible doesn't say it has to be anointed. Where do you find in the Bible God said he had to anoint one of his preachers? He didn't say, I set a preacher in the an apostle and a prophet in the church so that when I anoint him, he can perfect the church. He said, I set him in the church for the perfecting out of the body.
Amen.
Amen.
He doesn't have to get anointed. Somebody said, wait a minute. I said, he doesn't have to get anointed. The Bible says that he is God's anointed.
Amen.
He's always God's anointed. If you meet him somewhere out here at a filling station and he starts talking to you, you better watch. You better watch. You better listen to what he says and you better hear. The Bible says, hear good. Give the more earnest heed to the things you heard. Like as I said so many times, I was looking for somebody. I went over to a pastor's house. I knew this man. I knew he was a man of God. I went back by there and I said, Brother Edgar Castleberry. I said, Edgar, I said, could you please tell me how to get over to a certain road, to a certain house? Edgar began to tell me. I knew the man of fasting and prayer. I knew he had cancer, healed the doctor's report. Wasn't no playing around about it. I knew he was a man of God. And he told me, said, Brother Pine, go right down this road, go around here, and he told me just how to get there. All the time, you know, my little wheels was turning up here just like yours do. When a man of God tells you that you got little wheels that's turning, you're going to be doing your work. All the while my little wheels was turning, you know, I thought, now, he doesn't tell me where it's located. I'll go out here, I'll hit the highway out here, I'll go all the way around this, and I'll go through this wheel, and one around, and all of a sudden something, this is like it touched me like that, said, that's the name of God. I said, oh my God. Lord, forgive me. I said, I don't know the way through the wilderness, and I had to go through. Well, I said, I don't. That little old dirt road, rocks, and everything else. I said, but there's one thing for sure. When I find the place I'm looking for, I'll go the way the man of God told me to go. And that's where I went. See, because it might have been that my life depended on it. Tonight, people, what I tell you from this pulpit, it could very well be that your life depends on it.
Amen.
I had a good man, down there at the campground. And he told somebody, he got inspired, he decided he wanted to prophesy, he did. The Bible says we say that the Lord spoke, how big for the Lord's not spoken. So the man was a good man. I know it was a good man. Fast sometimes long fast. But the thing is, he got up and said, the Lord showed me that Brother Pike would be dead before they get to the top of this tabernacle. You know what happened? I told the people, I said, you shouldn't have said that. Because it wasn't God. Somebody said, how do you know? There's a way to know. My sheep know the voice of God. Before the tabernacle was ever kept on, or before the top was ever put on it, that man was dead. He got a key on the car wreck. Leaving the campground. See, it's no time to play. It's no time. It's time that we got serious. And we come to the house of God and we call upon the believe that. But Paul, they didn't have no family, they didn't have all that. All they did was come together to preach the word. And what they did, they listened all night long to the word. Somebody said, I couldn't never do it. I'm sure that you couldn't listen all night long to what you've been listening to, and I couldn't either. But I'll tell you what, I have gotten into the mind of God, had to be able to get in the mind of God, and I was the pathway that they say, my Lord. You don't need to tell me at that time, it looked like we only talked about 30 minutes. Because in that world, there's no time balance. You don't get tired. You don't get weary. When that mind goes up there, it's like Moses, 40 days without food, and went back for 40 more. Didn't drink a drop of water for 80 days, and didn't eat a bite of food for 80 days. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's about 4 or 5 days to put you in the coffin if you don't drink water. But for 80 days, he didn't drink any. Now, you know why? He was in the presence of God, my brother.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Revelation. I'm just using this service a little bit tonight to make you to understand that when we come to the house of God, to be able to bring revelation, you've got to teach revelation. And I said again, I'm not talking about a Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about a teacher of the fivefold ministry. That's right. You have got to be taught. Jesus was a teacher. And if that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm a member of that body speaking from within me, he's still a teacher. He's still a teacher. He wants to tell you something. He wants to instruct you. Most of my ministry around the United States and Canada, where we've been, I've always preached. Just taking an evangelistic message. But not because I wanted to. Because if God can't give you what he wants to give you, he has to give you whatever he can.